that concluded his presentation. I would turn it over to the applicant at this time.
Okay, so we're going to turn this over to the applicant. Now, keep in mind that we're going to try to keep our limits to speaking today of 5 minutes per person. We'll do our best to try to uphold that. So, if the applicant, if you'd like to begin, please state your name.
I'm Mike Dortch. I own a couple of the parcels that are in this development. My son, Chris Dortch, is right behind me. He's the one who owns and runs the bed and breakfast. And then Ammon Hardy is actually my son-in-law. And I'm representing him tonight in absentia. So we have three separate owners in this 17 acres. First of all, thank you for your service. In the previous life, I served on a P&Z. And if there's a more thankless job in the world, I don't know it. It any time that livelihoods and neighborhoods collide, it makes for interesting meetings. And to that end, we had a good one last month with the P&Z. Fleshed out a lot of issues. I think you'll be probably happy to see that we have a good following of no's ourselves. I think I'll take just a minute and show you, if I can, on the map, just to orient you a little bit, and then we'll just get into the, because really the two issues are what is heart.
This is the existing bed and breakfast right here. All of this land right here that surrounds the development here is owned by the Grant Wood. He's the deer growing TV show. So it's on its way to be in conservation area. So two sides is that. And then we have a big natural gully right here that's, I think, owned by Mr. Chestnut. And another one right here that separates us from both of these subdivisions. So I think and the new cabins are coming in right here on this, largely on this road, some down here. This is the closest house. You can see we're kind of our own little neighborhood. There are no homes in front on this Ruby's Rest Road or the offshoots from it. So we're kind of our own little neighborhood. This house right here fronts on Hampton Road, and it's the closest one that will be to the new cabins in this room. So we're kind of our own little neighborhood, kind of isolated. And
our clientele is mostly couples, older and younger. That's why all of our little units are little studio, one-bedroom type units. So we're not doing the big, loud, and noisy 10-bedroom corporate retreats or any of that kind of stuff. The two reasons given, well, I think I'll just hit the water first. It says, based on insufficient water supply. This came from the letter that Scott mentioned that from the DNR. Because Caney County doesn't have its own water standards, so they've adopted the state standards. And so we made application to the state. Once we proposed the development, they required that we put in a new public well system and water system. Gave us, and through that process with the site inspection, we received approval for that new public well site. And they said the total drill depth of 7 to 750 feet into the Robidoux or whatever it is formation should furnish approximately 30 gallons a minute. Higher yields are generally available at greater depths. Now, Dave Stewart, and please, I hope that nothing I say here tonight goes to disparage anybody or the Planning Commission. Those guys are great. I thought we had a very lively meeting and handled it well and fleshed out a lot of issues, nor any of my good neighbors and friends. Dave Stewart kind of took objection to that, thinking that the 30 gallons a minute was going to be woefully insufficient to handle the development. And so what we asked our engineer to do, long story short, is to bring forward, kind of accelerate the design, bring forward the well design now. And that's the nature of this letter that you have in your packet. And basically his conclusion, and I asked Mr. Diebold to join us tonight. He's sitting right behind me in case you want to hear from him, in case we get into the weeds of this. But this letter basically states that for the entire development, including the existing facility and all of the new stuff that's being built, that we would need 20 gallons per minute. And so in his letter, he states that that's, in his opinion, more than sufficient to serve the water requirements of the development. So I think at the Planning Commission we were just operating on bad information that we didn't have anything else to at the time to refute it. So I think we got a bad decision because of bad information. So I think we would ask that in light of the new information that reason simply be overturned. And with that, I'm done with the water. If you have any questions for me or for Wayne sitting behind me on this water issue. That's the quietest I've seen you. I don't know if it's good. I don't know you well enough to know if that's good or bad. Now I'm going to defer to you, Mr. Chair. I don't know how you want to, if you want to just finish the water now, if you want to hear from any of the audience on the water issue, well, or you want me to just finish mine.
Well, here's the thing I want to remind you, that tonight's appeal is just strictly on these two topics.
I know.
And so I think that it's best for us to go ahead and cover those two topics, speak now, and then we'll hear what the opposing
parties say. What I'm asking is, do we want to finish the water part of it now with the others, or do you want me to move on to the condo?
Let's move on to the condo.
Okay. The second one is not quite as straightforward. It says the board was not satisfied with the condo-style platting of the cabins and the condominium area, and there seemed to be some general hesitation with the individual deeding and the common things, some things being owned in common that seemed to them for some reason to be a little out of the usual. I didn't think they were. I'm gonna quote Roger. Is it Hoenes?
He knows.
I wasn't even close. Anyway, he was the one who spoke at most to this. He spoke right before the motion was made. It'll add some clarification. He said, "For me, the only issue is the separate deeds and the association. I know there's a lot of creative ways to approach a problem, but to throw a potential quagmire of homeowners association for me personally makes me uncomfortable, as opposed to a family setting up an LLC corporation to own property and to manage the property and make it work, and you have shares in that LLC. If anybody ever wants out, you just sell your shares. It's a pretty simple process. But I'm not in the real estate, so I'm not familiar with all the ins and outs. For me, I'm just saying it muddies the water for me." So his, at least his, and I think this was shared by a couple of the others, because I remember hearing the comment, well, potentially you could have 14 separate owners, and right? That's not our intention. We're doing this because we have three owners now, and it facilitates the financing and build. But that is true that you potentially could. So I can't say how many were subscribed to this, but when we turned this over to our attorney, he just said that he cited the law, and the regulation said that no regulation, and this is Missouri Uniform Condominium Act, subsection 1, subsection 448.1-1-6, says no regulation may prohibit the condominium form of ownership or impose any requirement upon a condominium which it would not impose upon a physically identical development under a different form of ownership. And I think this is an area, too, where the county really does not have their own condominium code. They simply, well, I think everywhere they are run by the state. And so I think everybody by default's kind of adopted the state statutes because they govern anyway. And so I think it's clearly, by Missouri law, not legal, or not in keeping with the law to discriminate against a project solely for the type of ownership. And I think at least for some of them that was the deal. Another thing I remember hearing was a discussion, or we had some discussion about, because some of these condominiums, some of these cabins, there will be like three of them and four of them connected to individual septic tanks. So you would have three of them in one case, four of them in another case that are, because they're little one bedrooms and they comply. And that all complies with state code. There's no problem with that. But they had a problem with the individual ownership of the condominiums and the common septic. And But it's funny because at the state level, the state requires, if you're going to do that, they permit it, and they actually, when you do, they require a, what they call a continuing authority, which would be like an HOA or something that is perpetually there, that survives the buying and selling of these and survives all of the owners, that operates and maintains a utility system. So the HOA in this case would be taking care of all the sewer system, the water system, maintaining the roads, mowing the grass, taking care of all of the typical condominium stuff that it does. And all of this complies with current state codes and state laws. And so I guess our feeling is similar here, is that since we comply with state laws and requirements, and the county has adopted those, that this too is an area where we actually have complied and was improperly arrived at. In fact, I think that the latter one, referring to the condos, would probably have to be overturned to actually come into compliance with state law. I'm done with that one. Do you have any questions for me on that?
I have one.
Okay.
When would the HOA be established?
It's established with the bylaws. As soon as the condominium is established, the bylaws establish the HOA. So it's right off the bat. It's just part of the platting process.
Are you considered the developer?
I consider myself a recovering developer. Yeah, I'll be.
So I think it's the responsibility of the developer when they develop that they have to create the HOA.
It is. Yeah, the developer, which is us, we're the three landowners, we'll be putting together all of this. We'll be working and complying with all the county and state codes, because this doesn't get us out of any compliance. We still comply everywhere. But we will set up the condominium, the owners association. It will be tasked with all of these duties, and then it will be off and running. And it stays. We've all seen the, because that's the essence of a condominium, is individual owners bound to a common purse by deed and then administered by an HOA. And that's what's usually missing in a lot of these. There's a lot of CC&Rs floating around out there that don't ever get enforced, and it's because of the absence of an HOA. The HOA is what really gives it teeth. If somebody doesn't pay their bill, they can assess it and actually take it from the property. If they don't maintain, so there's no worries with an HOA because they have so much teeth. And, you know, I'm kicking myself inside right now because I find myself defending HOAs. I've lived in one of those communities, and they are difficult, but they do have their purpose. And this is a perfect example of where one works and works well, because it'll govern and keep everything in line.
But that is what would maintain your sewer, your water, utilities, all of these things.
Mow the grass, plant the flowers, take care of the buildings, everything. And that will ensure that it's always maintained at a high level and a high standard.
The applicant would have to present a condominium plat per unit, and he's required to record all that he's just stated, CCRs, HOA. All that has to be recorded with each plat that's recorded if you do them individually, yep. And that would cover that piece of earth or that property, no matter who owns it. Yep. But it has to be recorded at the same time as the plat.
Yep. Which is a whole other ballgame.
That's,
kind of
that's our, all yeah. the state.
That's totally
that's all the state.
Tonight our focus is just on the water and the condominium.
But the one thing you can take comfort in, that once the deed restrictions are in place, you know, if those are just there by themselves and they're not continuously enforced, they kind of lose their teeth. They kind of lose the ability to enforce them. But with the HOA continuously and consistently enforcing those HOAs, this becomes something that's literally impossible to beat, that people aren't going to say, no, I'm tired of this, I'm going to pull out. It will continue forever.
Mr. Chairman, I heard you say that we're limited to those two issues. I went back and I listened to the board discussion planning zoning to make sure that I understood the reason, and there was the comment made from the gentleman that made the motion. I don't know, I didn't recognize the voice. Compatibility. Are we not also looking at that?
So here's what happens. When we have a situation like this where there's an appeal, it's our job to find out if